Welcome to the Success Sensei Podcast for anyone interested in success, happiness, and balance. We'll teach you how to be a black belt at life. And now, your host, former professional fighter, multiple world champion, entrepreneur, and investor, Robert Devan.
And this is Roundhouse Rob, the Success Sensei, helping you to win at life one kick and punch at a time. Episode 67. How to hit as hard as you possibly can. So I'm kind of going back to my roots with this one. And I've been teaching this a lot lately with my clients. Basically, how do you hit harder? And how do you hit as hard as you possibly can? Why am I recording this podcast, especially when not everybody listening is into martial arts or wants to be a martial artist or wants to be a fighter? And you don't have to be, obviously, to listen to the Success Sensei podcast. The reason why I'm doing it is knowing how hard you can hit and being able, knowing that you can hit as hard as you possibly can, does give you overall confidence, which exudes into every area of your life. You can be a super nice person, but there's no harm in having a little edge, and there's no harm in people being able to detect from you that if you had to defend yourself, you could. Even the process of practicing hitting as hard as you can, I mean, it is great for stress relief, and also, I mean, it's good for health and it's good for fitness. So confidence, defense gives you a little bit of a psychological edge. It's good for stress relief and overall it's good for your health. So it's a win-win being able to hit as hard as you possibly can. For the most part, I'm going to be talking about the competitive aspect of hitting as hard. So in relation to competitive martial arts or combat sports, competitive fighting, I'll try to keep it general. I won't narrow it down to one specific discipline of martial arts. So just in general. So it can be true as well for self-defense, but I'm not necessarily talking about hitting as hard as you can in a self-defense scenario, because then I'd have to give you lots of disclaimers and lots of moral code as to when is acceptable and when's not acceptable, etc., etc. So I'm pretty much talking about in a competitive sense, or even just yourself in training, yourself and a punch bag. More than likely, you're going to need a punch bag to practice everything that we're talking about. It's going to be very hard to do without something to impact on. But the good news is most gyms have a punch bag nowadays. Most normal, regular gyms will have punch bags. It's impossible to watch any kind of a movie, superhero movie, or any kind of a movie that the leading person in it doesn't have a punch bag in their bachelor pad loft apartment in New York. So I know a lot of people have punch bags and access to punch bags in their homes or in their local gym. And if you don't, try to get access, because you're kind of going to need that particular piece of equipment to really test all of these things and these points that I'm going to tell you. So without further ado, let's cut to the chase. How do you hit as hard as you possibly can? Right. Number one, full rotation. You've got to fully turn into absolutely everything. Whether it's punches, whether it's kicks, whether it's an elbow or a knee, you can classify the strike in whichever strike you favor. But full rotation, a full twisting body motion into absolutely anything that you're throwing. Do not cut it short. So don't try to use a micro technique if you're trying to hit as hard as possible. It has to be at maximum movement. That was number one. Sounds obvious, but people don't really do that. Number two is, if you tense up, and you tense up early, you're actually going to inhibit your power. You have to stay, if it's a punch, obviously a clenched fist, but it has to be fairly relaxed so that you can access speed and then tense milliseconds, just at the last milliseconds just before the impact. So to tense up your arm or to tense up, I see it in kicking a lot, especially when you're throwing a roundhouse kick. People have their legs so tense right at the start that it slows down their kick. And when the kick lands, it's all going to just be leg that's connecting. And your own musculature, your own tension of your own muscles in your arms or in your legs can actually inhibit the strength and the power that you can put into your strikes. It can actually stop you, because your own muscle tension can stop you from the impact that you're looking to do. So that's number two. Don't be tensing up. Don't be overly tense. That's why you'll hear coaches on the sideline going, relax, relax. And it's to try to stop the fighter from being tense. Now, it's easy to shout in relax when every cell in your body is telling you to panic and you're in a highly tense, highly nervous, adrenaline-fueled situation, and someone's shouting at you to relax when your opponent wants the exact opposite result for you. So it can be very hard to relax, but that's what they're trying to say. Take any unnecessary, any hunched shoulders, any unnecessary tension, you know, away, so that you can move quicker. Speed equals power as well. So only tense on the very, very last second. You are going to have to breathe out when you strike, and on every strike. So if you do five hard strikes in a row, it has to be five exhalations in a row. And this is what catches a lot of people out, especially beginners. They hold their breath a lot, and they think it's only down to their fitness. That's the reason why they're out of shape or they're out of breath. And it can be to do with holding your breath. So if you are going to lift something very heavy, could be weights, could be a sofa, could be a big flat screen TV, and you're going to lift it and you're going to hold your breath as you lift it, you really are causing yourself immense difficulty. And you're going to make it a hell of a lot harder than it needs to be. So you have to breathe out on any kind of a major strike. So any power strike, you need to exhale, and a solid exhale, not one that's just, you know, lets all the breath and energy escape out of your mouth, but a concentrated one that actually tenses up your core. And if you can time it as well with the impact, it's going to make the strike even stronger. Right, on to number four. So we are going in order today, believe it or not. Number four is the second most important of the lot, because we've got 5 points. The second most important is focus on using your body weight. Sounds obvious, and I know you're thinking this is nothing new, but you know what? Everybody I train, from beginners to intermediate fighters, have difficulty using their body weight. There's still too much arms and too much just legs. So you don't punch with your arm, you punch with your body. You don't punch with your leg, you kick with your body. You don't just kick with your leg. So you know exactly what I mean. You're trying to use as much body weight as possible for lots of different reasons. You might be very strong naturally, but there's not as much strength in just one limb as there is if you manage to put your entire body weight behind the strike. And this is why lightweight fighters can hit very, very hard. When I hold the mitts for some lighter weight fighters in comparison to heavyweights, some of them hit like absolute trucks. And it's because they know how to put their body weight. They have to. They've no choice, because they're lighter weight fighters. They have to put their body weight into each and every shot. And they know how to do it. They have the body mechanics to do it. In comparison to heavyweights, can get away with a little bit more because they have the mass behind their strikes. And even falling into a strike is going to cause a lot of damage to somebody who's a very, very heavy fighter. So lighter fighters don't have that luxury. So they have to use their body weight. So using your body weight is also really important, because as a fight drags out and as you go on, muscular endurance will fatigue. Your muscles will let you down. Your natural strength, your natural limb strength will let you down. So if you manage to put your body weight behind every single shot, it doesn't really matter if you've not got that strength in your arm or in your leg. You're not relying on just your bicep or just your tricep or just your quad. You're actually trying to administer as much body weight as possible. Which brings us on to number five. Don't be concentrating on strength. Do not be concentrating on power. Don't even concentrate on hitting as hard as you can. Concentrate on impact, the actual impact. That's what you need to concentrate on. If you concentrate on, even though I've called it how to hit as hard as you possibly can, if you concentrate on hitting as hard as you possibly can, you might get the instant gratification of it hitting hard, but your power can be dissipated. And what I mean by that is, you could hit somebody really hard in a competitive sense, obviously, or hit a punch bag as hard as you can, and all that happens is that that opponent flies out of the way, or the punch bag flies out of the way. They don't absorb the power. They don't absorb the shock of your strike. I want you to focus on the actual impact. So it's not pushing them away. it's striking so hard that the bag doesn't actually move, or your opponent doesn't move. So they absorb 100%, they internalize 100% of the shock and the energy that you've just delivered with your strike. And ultimately, what they want to do is go straight down because they haven't moved. They haven't been able to dissipate any of your energy. They've absorbed all of it. So focus on the impact of putting as much of your body weight into the strike as possible. You need to, the very first one I was talking about, full rotation, including footwork, including shoulders, including hips. Practice the gross motion first. This is where a lot of people go wrong. And this would have been the traditional approach in the past, was to try to concentrate on smaller motion and then build up smaller, tighter technique until they could generate a little bit of power. And you know what? The opposite is better. The opposite is more effective and it's easier. Get used to the feeling of the impact first. So use a gross motion first. So a big wide swinging kick or a big wide swinging strike. Once you know what that feeling of impact is supposed to feel like, once you know what it's supposed to feel like to hit at maximum power, even if it's a big, slow, laboring, obvious strike, it's easier once you know the impact's supposed to feel like, it's easier to pare back, to concentrate on tighter technique, including a tighter guard, smaller circles, and attempt to generate the same impact because you already know what it's supposed to feel like because you've already felt it. So psychologically, you know what it should feel like, as opposed to somebody who tries to use exact and precise small technique to generate power and then tries to add more power to that precise and narrow technique. That's going to be a lot harder and you might never actually experience what maximal power is like, a maximal impact, a maximal hitting as hard as you can, basically. So get that feeling first. Once you know what that feels like, as I said, it's easier to taper down the technique, to make the technique faster, and to try not to lose too much of that sensation and this same power and the same strength and the same hitting as hard as you can with the gross motor skills as you can when you're refining it a little bit more. There's a technique in bodybuilding, if you want to increase your, say, your bench press, and it's the same thing. The only reason I'm talking about it, it's not a bodybuilding podcast. The only reason I'm talking about it is because it's actually exactly this process that we're talking about with the gross motion and the gross motor skills first and then sanding them into fine motor skills. And say if you were doing your bench press and you were plateauing and you wanted to increase your bench press and you wanted to jump up, and not just a tiny increase, but you want a fairly decent increase. One of the best ways to do it is to get used to the feeling of the heavier weight. So you load up the bar, you might even put another 20 to 40 kilos on your bar above what you can actually lift. So above your one rep maximum, you may put an extra 20 to 40 kilos, which is massive, above your one rep maximum. So maybe I should say a disclaimer at this stage and say this story is just more of an anecdote, and please don't hurt yourself or injure yourself. And if you do, you can't sue me. And this is only just for entertainment purposes, right? So anyway, you've loaded up your bench press with an extra 20 to 40 kilos. You lie down on your bench. And what I want you to do is, hopefully you won't need a spotter to do it, but if you do, you do. Lift the bar off the pegs and just hold it at the upper range. If you have a little bit of bravery, you can drop the bar down about 2 inches, back up again. So you're doing upper range lifts. You're not bringing it down, not even halfway, and certainly not all the way to your chest. You're just getting the feel of the weight on the bar. And you're just doing little tiny bounces, not actually using momentum, but just your muscles, just down about 2 inches and up, 2 inches and up. As most of you know that go to the gym or do bench pressing, it's at our lowest point that we're at our weakest. So down close to our chest, that's where we would struggle to get the weight off ourselves. Anyone who's ever dropped the weight in themselves will know exactly what I'm talking about. But upper range lifts, where you've taken the bar off the pegs, is way heavier than you're normally used to get the use of the feeling of what that weight actually feels like. And you lower the bar and you raise the bar and you lower the bar and you raise the bar, only a couple of inches. You might do one set of 20 reps. It's not that much. You'll fly them out. It's only a couple of inches. Put the bar back and you get used. If you do that a couple of times, your muscles and even psychologically, you get so used to what that weight feels like that if you were to go back to your one rep maximum, It won't increase, unfortunately, by the 20 to 40 kilo that you've been getting used to on the bar. But I would not be shocked if you stuck an extra 10 kilos on your one rep maximum. You will jump up a fair bit and a massive bit by doing it. And a lot of it is psychological. It's getting used to the feeling of that heaviness, that heavy weight, so that you're not afraid of it or it's not unknown to you. And it's exactly the same with working on impact. If you don't know what it feels like to hit a massive gross motion maximal power strike, it's going to be very hard to build up to that. So you nearly, especially with more refined technique and with fine gross motor skills instead of gross motion. So you need to get used to hitting massive wide circle and then start paring down your technique once you know what the impact is that you desire to hit with. You're going to need a punch bag, as I was saying. It's going to be very hard to practice any of this without a punch bag, without something that you can hit without hurting yourself. A lot of beginners, when they start, they don't even need to wear hand wraps because they just need a pair of gloves and they can start hitting things, because it takes a lot of people. This process that we've just discussed, you can do it. I think you can do it fairly quickly. And a lot of the time when I get people training with me who are beginner or intermediate, I can do it within a few minutes. I can have them hitting a lot harder just using all of these points that we were talking about. But other people, sometimes it takes them a little bit harder and they develop with the strength of their punches, and it's a longer, slower process. So not everybody wears hand wraps. You probably need your hand wraps because hopefully if you're utilizing all these points that we were just talking about, you are going to be hitting hard fairly quick. So you need to be making sure that you're protecting your hands if it's boxing that we're talking about, or making sure that you're not connecting with a really heavy bag with sand in the end of the bag with your shins. Just be careful is what I'm saying. Wrap your hands, get a decent pair of gloves, 16 ounces best. That's what I would favor if I was working on my power shots. And enjoy the process. Enjoy the process. Right, I'll call them out again, right? Number one was full rotation. Full rotation, shoulders, hips, feet, everything. So maximum turning circle into every single strike. Number two was don't be overly tensed. Overly tensing up your muscles will actually inhibit your power. So be relaxed. Well, not totally relaxed, but relaxed, but having that tension in the last millisecond just before the impact. Number three, you need to breathe out and a sharp exhalation, one that actually tenses up your core to help deliver and time the power with your strike to help deliver a harder strike. Number four, focus on body weight, delivering as much of your body weight. Every ounce that you weigh or whatever currency metric measurement you use to calculate your weight, use every ounce or pound or kilo or whatever you need to transfer into each individual strike. If you hit with your body weight, it's always going to be a hell of a lot harder than just hitting with your individual limb. Number five, focus on the impact. Forget about feeling like you're hitting harder. Forget about trying to hit hard. Forget about trying to use as much strength as possible. Forget about trying to hit as powerfully as possible. They will all inhibit you because they'll force you to tense up, which was number two. But focus on impact, on the actual impact. Not trying to push the bag away, nothing. On that punch bag, our opponent, absorbing as much of that impact that you're trying to deliver to them as possible. And keep the gross motions. You keep the gross motion large, so don't be worrying about smaller motion and don't be trying to be too precise, especially when you need to get the sensation of the power. And don't injure yourself in the process. Again, just really briefly before I sign out, it used to be a thing in the past from a coaching point of view that you would not let a student of martial arts hit something until the technique was perfected. You know, that you'd have to get it perfect in the air and then you'd start hitting things. But the problem with that is what I was saying was you'd be then trying to generate power from a smaller motion and from finer motion instead of, and so it was harder to build up to that sensation of impact that I want you to feel early on, so you know how to try to recreate it when you are refining your technique. So it's kind of done in reverse. It's more learned by doing, but just be safe. Don't break wrists, don't break toes, don't injure your shin, don't bust any fingers. Wrap your hands. Do it in a sensible way. If you need help, look for an instructor. But you definitely can hit harder than you believe you can. And you definitely can hit harder then. You know you can. Physically you can do it, and also psychologically you'll be able to do it. Hopefully you found it interesting. Hopefully you give it a go. I would love to hear your results. So message me anytime. Thank you for listening. I'm Roundhouse Rob, the Success Sensei. Life is a fight you can enjoy and win. Bowing out.
This has been the Success Sensei, fighting the winning fight. So add us, subscribe, like, and comment. Keep those hands up and keep moving forward.